In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, our text this evening will be verse 6, but I want to begin reading in verse 5. This is our fourth message, I believe, in the book. And I'm going to title the message this evening, Joy in Affliction. And this will, I guess, I did not know what our missionary is going to preach this morning, but I guess this will be a continuation of part of his sermon, even though we did talk about these things. And then probably in July, in our Matthew chapter 5 series, we'll come back and address this again. You'll notice with me that as we read from verse 5, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost." Verse 7, "So that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything." Heavenly Father, we do ask tonight for Thy blessings and Thy anointing upon the reading of Thy Word, and we ask for guidance, and we ask, Lord, that You would speak to our hearts, especially with this subject here tonight, which is so needed in our country and our churches. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. What we're going to be looking at tonight, as we do really every time, is true biblical Christianity. And we find here in this passage the paradox of joy in afflictions. Now, there's no way to understand this without truly being saved and believing the Word of God. Joy can be experienced or coexist with afflictions. And it's not that we want afflictions or that we look for afflictions. It's just the fact that they came to our Lord Jesus Christ. They came to the apostles. They came to the early church. And we, if we live godly in Christ Jesus, we're not exempt from anything our Lord, the apostles, or the early church went through. Now, when I say the paradox of joy and affliction, I'm going to give you a dictionary definition of the word paradox. Paradox is a seemingly absurd or contradictory statement or proposition that is true when investigated or explained. In other words, a paradox is something that just seems so contradictory. It seems so absurd, but when you start looking into it and considering it and investigating it, and it's explained, then we see that it makes sense. Just on the surface, to say joy in affliction does not make any sense. It's like saying last Sunday morning in our sermon, you know, "Blessed are they that mourn." You know, "For they shall be comforted." Now, notice with me, coming back to verse 6, and this is the only verse we're going to look at this evening. We're going to get into the ideal next week of examples, being examples. He uses the word in samples here in verse 7. But in verse 6, I'm going to read this just a few times before we turn away from it, as I will normally do in many other subjects. He says, "And you became followers of us." Now, that's the apostles. "And of the Lord." Now, think about this. Just let that sink in. We find many times that the apostles said, "Follow us in our doctrine or our example." This is the only time that we have the right or privilege to follow men when they're following the Lord Jesus Christ, when they're speaking what He said. And I'll give you some verses. Now, I'm not going to turn to all of these, and there'll be several verses I'll give you tonight, even a few that Brother Ronnie this morning had mentioned that that I was going to use, I can at least give reference to them. But in 1 Corinthians 11:1, the Apostle Paul there said, "Be ye followers of me, as I also am of Christ." Also in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, we find in Philippians 3:17, this is all the Apostle Paul at this time, Hebrews 13:7, following the men of God and their teachings, as long as they're teaching the Word of God, and 1 Peter 5:3 is another one. So what does it mean when he says, followers of us and the Lord? Well, to follow the apostles and the Lord in the doctrine they taught, in their afflictions and in their sufferings. We find this word here, followers, has the idea of becoming imitators of the apostles and the Lord in their faith and in their practice. In other words, to be like them, to copy them. That's the idea that we see here. Now, in America, in general, we do not see the theology of suffering. I want you to think about this. It is foreign to many American churches, especially in our time. And it has been for a long time. We have the ideal of feel-good sermons, fun and games, bring into the music, the church rather, the music that we like. So many times have I had people say, "Well, I like it." You know, well, what does God say about it? And we find that when people get saved or we lead somebody to the Lord or they come into the faith, we need to tell them these truths when they sign up for this. You understand what I'm saying? We need to let them know that there will be afflictions and there will be sometimes oppositions and sufferings. We have to ask the question, why do we not suffer more than we do? Because 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, and the context, "Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." And in the context, Paul speaks of his afflictions, his oppositions, and I think he uses the word persecutions with afflictions. He speaks of that. And he says, not only myself, but all that live godly in Christ Jesus. We might have to ask the question, how or why do we have it so good? I was thinking about this recently as not only looking at this passage, but I have been in conversation with a number of different ones, some of these out of town, some of them in this county, about this subject. And I had, and I am not criticizing this man at all. We had good conversations. Man recently told me that it's much easier when you're not in church and not following the Lord. He said it's hard to do that. It's hard to commit yourself and stay with it. He said, seems like the devil is just on you. And I said, he's on your back all the time if you're trying to serve him. And he said, it's easier. It's more peace. I said, maybe short term. Well, when the devil gets through with you, he will cast you aside. I said, in the long term, you will live with a multitude of regrets. Short term, it may seem like it's okay. The pleasure of sin for a season, the Bible says. But in the long term, those who refuse to follow the Lord. And I said this to a man just the other day, not criticizing him at all. I think he is seeking and thinking. And he wanted to talk to me. We stood for about 2 hours and talked just Monday night. And right out here in the parking lot. And so I'm not in wait, but I told him, I said, in the long term, I said, when the devil gets through, I said, you will have more problems than you'll ever think. And I said to him also that you'll have a multitude of regrets. So when we talk about the theology of suffering, and there is a theology of suffering in the Word of God, We find here in verse 6, he says, "And you became followers of us and of the Lord." Now keep that in mind. Of the apostles, we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. The Lord is not only our Savior, our Master, and our Teacher. And notice he also said in this passage, he says, "Having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost." Now, I just want you to think about that. We're going to come again back and address this in Matthew 5, 10, 11, 12. I'm going to read that tonight. We're going to address this again probably in the month of July, just however long it takes us, because we'll have another missionary preaching in 2 weeks. Just however long it takes us, when we get through the Beatitudes, the last one has to do with blessed are those which are persecuted. Now again, we must think biblically for that to even make sense to us. So he says here, "You became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word." Now think about what is being said here. We talked a little bit last week in verse 5 about how they received the word, their work of faith, their labor of love, their patience of hope. Verse 7 and 8 also speaks of this. And then in chapter 2 and in verse 13, he says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you have heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." And again, we have already addressed this to some extent. And he says in verse 6 again, "And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost." So, this much affliction, as far as the Thessalonians is concerned, we can read about this in a few other places. For instance, they suffered from Gentiles, unbelievers, just like the believing Jews did from the unbelieving Jews. In chapter 2 and verse 14, he says, For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God which in Judea are in Christ Jesus, for ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews." Unbelieving Jews in Judea were persecuting believing Jews. And he says those churches there were going through afflictions. And he's saying to the church at Thessalonica, he said, "You're going through the same thing from your own countrymen." So these verses, chapter 1, chapter 2, clearly show us that they were going through afflictions. But not only that, the Apostle Paul in chapter 3, he says, and I'm just going to cut into the text and only read a couple of verses. He says, verse 3 and 4, he said that no man should be moved by these afflictions. Now these are the afflictions of the apostles. And he said, "For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto." Write down John 16:33. In Acts 9:16, they were appointed. They were appointed to this. Then verse 4, "For verily when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation even as it came to pass, and you know." And then in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, if you would turn there, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. So they are suffering in much afflictions. This predominantly Gentile church is suffering just like the Jewish churches in Judea. And they receive the word. And we're going to find next week they not only embraced this word and received it, but they spread it out. They spoke about it. And they received the word in much afflictions with the Holy Ghost. Or in the Holy Ghost. In other words, we find that joy can exist in sufferings, for joy is a fruit of following the Spirit. In other words, we talk about the Holy Spirit. Romans 15 and verse 13. God imparts joy to the believer through the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 16, it was through the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, that Paul and Silas, after being beaten and put in jail, put in prison, they could sing. Singing and praising God is the language of joy. And they could only do that from what was within them. You see, and that was the Holy Spirit that was within them. They had there that day purchased some stocks and bonds. If you read that passage closely. In Nehemiah 8 and verse 10, when Ezra stood on the platform in the pulpit and read the Word of God for hours, people began weeping. They began weeping. And Ezra told the people, this is not the time right now to weep. They did weep. They confessed sins. They repented. But he says in Nehemiah 8:10, he said, the joy of the Lord is our strength. In other words, he tried to encourage them. And he said, have joy within your heart at the same time that they were weeping. Now, here's the Christian life in one verse in Romans 12, verse 12. And it says this, rejoice in hope and patience in tribulation. That's the Christian life. Right there, rejoice in hope and patience in tribulation. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, you'll notice with me as we come to verse 4. I'm reading in verse 4. He says here, beginning in verse 4, he says, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which ye also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance upon them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Then he speaks of the glorification of the saints in verse 10 and 11. So we have this paradox that we find out when we investigate it. It is so true, there can be joy by the Holy Ghost as we receive the Word at the same time going through trials, tribulations, and afflictions. Now, turn with me to Hebrews 12. You can turn loose to Thessalonians. What I want to do, and I'm going to give you some verses. I'm not going to go and read all of these. But I want to go through three thoughts tonight when it comes to afflictions. And one is, let's talk about Christ, that He went through afflictions and He had joy in those afflictions. Secondly, we're going to talk about the apostles. Because see, in our text in 1 Thessalonians 1:6, He said, you became followers of us and the Lord. So we're going to talk about the apostles, the us, and we're going to talk about the Lord, and then we're going to talk about the saints. So let's first of all talk about Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 12. And I will not be apologizing for reading certain passages over and over. I have others I can read. I've almost apologized before. I'm going to catch myself, never apologize. There's one I'm going to give you tonight. I gave you last week and about 4 weeks ago, and that's in 1 Peter 2. Christ is our example in suffering. And I want to give that thing to you about 15 or 20 times this year. And I will not apologize for it because we need it. I need it. These are the things that encourages us. Well, notice as we come to Hebrews 12, let's talk about, first of all, Christ having joy in His afflictions. I'm reading in Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 1, to encourage the Christians here. He's writing to believers. And he says in verse 1, he said, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." Now, that's those believers in chapter 11. We're going to read there a little bit later. He said, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." So he's speaking to Christians. He's using Old Testament saints. And we have many Old Testament saints that, you know, whipped giants and went through the fire. But we've also had many of them that were put to death as well. Some had great victories and some lost their life, and they all belong in the hall of faith, the heroes of faith. And so he's saying, look back at this great cloud of witnesses that he writes about in chapter 11. And he said, we're in a race, and we need to finish that race. And he says, verse 2, looking unto Jesus. So he says, not only look unto them, but look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy, here's that word, who for the joy that was set before him, here's three other words, endured the cross. I underline in my Bible the word joy, and then endured the cross. He says, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God, verse 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners. In other words, he had opposition of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not resisted unto blood. In other words, you haven't died yet, striving against sin. So he's encouraging him. He says, look at the cloud of witnesses, the great saints that endured to the end in the Old Testament. And then he says, look at the Lord Jesus Christ. He had joy as he endured the cross. He had joy in the afflictions. Why? Because of his righteous cause. In the redemption of humanity and the obedience of his Father. In other words, the Lord had joy going through what he went through, and it hurt what he went through, but he knew that he was being obedient to his Heavenly Father, and he also knew that the only way that he could redeem his bride, to redeem humanity, was that he had to go through this. So I can learn something from the Lord Jesus Christ. He becomes my example. Now, why should we do what we're doing? Why would our brother this morning spend 16 years pastoring, 31 years up until this point, 31 years on the mission field, and again, for 11 years living, I've been there many times, without electricity, living hard. Why would you leave the States and do that? Why would you even go? Why not go to the big cities so you can get a nice apartment and live like that? And I'm just using him as an example now since he was here this morning. Christ in Gethsemane and Calvary possessed a joy of the future hope of his church. And I'm going to show you just a little bit later, the Apostle Paul felt the same way in his suffering. He didn't enjoy sufferings. He even prayed that some would go away. But he knew there was a purpose behind this. And when we get focused on the purpose, we can give our lives and sometimes our assets and sometimes even our health sometimes for the sake of God's eternal kingdom. So, the Thessalonians, I did not give you the verse again, but I've already given it twice. Acts 17, 1 through 9. That church was born out of afflictions. When Paul went there to preach, there was a riot. There was mobs, as we see across our country today, tearing up cities. There was a mob and riots. And the Apostle Paul had to leave town. He had to leave them alone, leave town. But when he heard about their faith, he writes back to them. He got word from Timothy, as we've seen there in chapter 3, and he was joyful in the fact that even though he was in afflictions, they were in afflictions, all were still moving forward for the kingdom of God. Now, we see here again, verses 1 through 4 is using the Old Testament saints, Christ as an example, and encouraging every believer, not only in the first century, but even now. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. Here's our text. We just read it recently. 1 Peter chapter 2. And I want to read from verse 19. Again, encouraging Christians. He said in verse 19, "For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if when ye are buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently, but if when you do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even herein too were ye called." The calling is to suffer. And he says, "Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." He continues to talk about this sufferings. He said in verse 22, "He did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." He wasn't cursing and murmuring. Verse 23, "Who when he was reviled, reviled not again, and when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that is the Father, that judges righteously." So Christ is used as an example, and five times in 1 Peter, in every chapter, we find the issue of suffering. We find it in chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. He says, speaking of the saints, he said, "Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations." There's that joy in afflictions. He said, verse 7, "that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." Again, we have that combination, that paradox. Notice in chapter 4, in every chapter, again, we studied this book and I was fascinated, every chapter deals with this. Now notice in chapter 4, he says in verse 12 and 13, he said, "Beloved, think it not strange," that is, out of the will of God, "concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but," what's the next word? "Rejoice. Inasmuch as you're partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." So we are, as we serve the Lord, and we get oppositions, and we suffer from, we find here that we are partakers of his sufferings. Now let's look at this again one more time. Notice we're in John chapter 15. Go to any book in the New Testament. You don't have to take a magnifying glass and try to find afflictions and sufferings. It's anywhere you want to go in any book. In Revelation, the 22 chapters, nearly every chapter deal with this. Now notice in John, I'm reading chapter 15. So Christ, by the way, he suffered unjustly. And he's saying that we will suffer sometimes unjustly. And we are to respond the same way that he responded. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. And so if we're going to be followers, imitators, copiers of the apostles and Christ, then this is what God has called us to do. John chapter 15. The Lord is in the upper room the night before the crucifixion. By the way, if you're taking notes, Isaiah 53, verse 3. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Luke 10, 21, yet he rejoiced in the Spirit. Acts chapter 13, verse 23 through 36, his sufferings were according to the prophets. He knew it was according to God's will. Now in John chapter 15, we find here in verse 18 through 20, we also have a sermon, The Promise of Persecution, in the Upper Room Discourse, and a booklet, a transcript on this. He said in verse 18, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Why do we want to embrace something that hates us? That evil system that is in rebellion against God, and you can find it in every aspect of life, it says the world, not talking about the plants and the birds and the trees. He's talking about that system that is in rebellion against God that is led and headed by Satan. And so it hated Christ and it hates the believer. And there's no way that you can be friends with that or a part of it. He said in verse 19, if you were the world would love his own. If you're loved by the world, you better watch out. You're in trouble with God. And he says here in verse 19, but because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. We have an entire message on those three verses as well. So, there's many other passages, but so we see, first of all, that Christ had joy and sufferings. Why? Because of His righteous cause of redeeming humanity. He had a goal, He had His focus, and He was obedient to the Father's will. All that happened with Him was according to Scripture. Gethsemane, Calvary, yes, it hurt, very painful, and still yet, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Now let's look at the apostles. Turn to Acts chapter 5. In Acts chapter 5, and notice here. In Acts chapter 5, I'm going to have to give some verses, and when we get to this again in a month or two, we will cover them more thoroughly. I want to give you the verse again that our missionary gave this morning. Philippians 1:29. Not only are we to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, but we're to suffer for His name. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3:10, he says that he rejoiced there, and also he said, I want to know the fellowship of His sufferings. There's other things in the verse, but he says, I want to know the fellowship of His sufferings. And when Paul writes Colossians, in chapter 1 and verse 24, he speaks of filling up the sufferings of Christ. And what he means there is that he has a calling. And we have a calling that Christ suffered for sins that no man could suffer for. But if man doesn't suffer in getting that message out and living that message, then no one will ever know. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying, that he would fill up the sufferings of Christ. He knew that and had a focus. Notice in Acts chapter 5, here's some of the verses, if you just want them. Revelation 1:9, John, one of the apostles, he said that he was a companion of those that he's writing to the seven churches. And he said, I, John, who also am your brother and companion, notice, in tribulation. And he says, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. He also, now by the way, all of the 12 apostles, historians and says that they all were martyred. We know that James was. Paul spoke of his departure and so forth. And John was one that was not martyred, but he was on the Isle of Patmos at an older age for the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. And we've got a whole series on the 12 apostles, and we've talked about that. In Matthew 10, verses 16 through 25, the apostles were told that they would suffer for righteousness' sake. As they would minister the gospel, they would stand for the truth. He said that they would suffer. He said, you'll stand before kings. They'll bring you before. And we see this in the book of Acts. And he said, I will speak through you by the Holy Spirit. We find that, I give you verses, for instance, like in 2 Corinthians 6. I'm going to read in Acts in just a moment. With 2 Corinthians in chapter 6, verses 4 through 10, we see Paul's resume as a minister. And he speaks of their patience, their afflictions, their necessities, their distresses, stripes, imprisonments, tumults, labors, watchings, fastings. But listen to verse 10. He says, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making men rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. And he continues this kind of language. We see him again in chapter 7. He says in verse 4 and the following verses, he said verse 4, great is my boldness of speech toward you, great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort, I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. And he's rejoicing in the church that they're getting some things right and they're repenting and whatever. And so again, we see here joy and his tribulation and the good news that he heard from the church at Corinth. Again, in chapter 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 and 2, we see it again, the joy and their deep poverty. Speaking of the churches of Macedonia. In 2 Corinthians 12, 9, I'm just giving these out to you, 2 Corinthians 12, 9, and also in verse 5, and also in chapter 11, verse 30, the Apostle Paul said, therefore I take, well, let me back into verse 9 and 10, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Paul's praying that he would remove the thorn in the flesh. And he says, my grace is sufficient and is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. He said, how can you say I take joy, or I glory, I boast in my infirmities? This paradox. How can you say that? Only when your eyes and heart and mind are set upon the fact that this is a calling, not only the apostles, but the Christians, that we would carry on the sufferings of Christ. We will suffer to bring forth to the world His sufferings. So that's how that He could say that. Notice with me as we read in Acts chapter 5, verse 40, 41, and 42. And this is only one case here in this book. There's others. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council. Here it is. Rejoicing. How can that be? Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name, and daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. There it is again. Many, many times and you see, they didn't enjoy getting beat, but because of their righteous calling, and they are partakers of Christ's sufferings, they counted it a great privilege to be worthy to suffer shame for His name. It's an amazing statement. Now let's consider the saints. Notice with me in the book of James in chapter 1. James chapter 1. So the apostles had joy in suffering. They rejoiced in the fact that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. They knew that they had a calling upon their lives. And then we find that the saints of God, as in Thessalonians, they suffered. They had joy in their afflictions. How can they do that? Well, we find that it not only sanctifies us and perfects us, but it also secures the crown of life for us, as we read in many places. In James chapter 1, see, Brother Ron and I talk about this quite a bit, of some of the things he's been through, some of the things we've been through, and we find that afflictions, whatever form it comes in, it does a number of things for us. We don't like it. We'd rather not have it. But it is sanctifying. It does perfect us and mature us. It does secure for us the crown of life. We have those promises. So the Thessalonians received the word in much affliction and joy of the Holy Ghost. James chapter 1. In James chapter 1, verses 2, 3, and 4, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. It is lacking nothing. The word perfect means mature here in this passage. When I look at this, I see that afflictions, again, will sanctify. It will perfect. It will mature. It'll bring our focus into where it should be. And not on self, but on Christ and on His Word and His truth and His kingdom. And we see this many times with the saints. In verse 12, blessed is a man. Blessed, there's that word again as in the Beatitude. Blessed is the man that endureth temptations, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to them that love Him. Again, we see this over and over. Turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And notice verse 10, 11, and 12. In Hebrews 10, verse 32 through 39, we find that the saints of the Old Testament, they took, these are New Testament saints in chapter 10. Chapter 11, verse 35 through 40 will be the Old Testament saints. But in chapter 10, I just mentioned this to you a week ago also, within the last week. Hebrews chapter 10, from verse 32 through the end of the chapter, they endured a great fight of affliction. They became a gazing stock, both in reproaches and afflictions. And they were used. It's that word there. They were used by others. And then he said in verse 34, and he said, and ye had compassion of me and my bonds. Hebrews 13:3 speaks of those that are in bonds. And listen to this, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. How does that happen? You took joyfully, you know, that they really did not want that to happen, but for Christ's sake. They took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and enduring substance. He continues to encourage them to keep the faith. First John 3:13, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. Romans 8:18, you got the, in one passage there, suffering and glory combined together. And then in verse 35 through verse 39, You've got the passage that speaks. Let me just make sure I give you the right one. It speaks in verse 36, "For thy sake we are killed all the day long, counted as sheep for the slaughter." Verse 37, "Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us." Sounds like opposing statements, doesn't it? But it's talking about, as we've been saying tonight, joy in afflictions. Counted as sheep for the slaughter. And at the same time, are more, not just conquerors, but more than conquerors through him that loved us. Romans 5, verse 3 and 4 speaks of glorying in tribulation. Why? Because tribulation in the text brings three things. It brings patience, it brings experience, and experience brings hope. Again, it brings us to the place where we're focused, as we should be, on God's kingdom. Acts chapter 14, verse 22, the Apostle Paul told the churches in Galatia, he said, "We through much tribulation will enter into the kingdom of God." This is not a secret. The Lord never kept this as a secret. He told His disciples in Matthew 5 and Matthew 10 and Matthew 16 and Matthew 24, He said, "This is what they're going to try to do to you. The world will always hate Jesus Christ, and the world will always hate the followers of Jesus Christ." And then I come back to a text. We're going to close in Matthew 5. I come back to a text that I mentioned a while ago, and it's important with the context. We can all quote 2 Timothy 3:12, and that's good. "Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." But the context is in verse 10 and 11. He said, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience." And then in verse 11, he said, "Persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra." And he said, "What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me." Then he says, "Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." He said, "This is what I went through. This is what you'll go through, Timothy." But he said, all who live for Christ will have oppositions from this world. We must settle that. That must get settled, and then we will not be so offended when we realize the world hates us. They hate your Savior, they hate this book, and they'll hate you if you follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You will not be embraced by them. Now notice, as we come here in closing, and let me give you one other text. I actually brought my article, I'm not going to quote from it tonight, but I brought this article I wrote many years ago on discipleship. The word disciple is used over 250 times. New Testament, it's in the four Gospels and the book of Acts. The word disciple is used as a synonym for believers, especially throughout the book of Acts. And when you read the concept of discipleship, and that will be in verses in Luke chapter 14, verses about 26 through 33. You'll find three things in that text. Verse 26, of denying all. And that's not just others, that's including our own self. And then suffering all, in other words, taking up our cross. And then the third thing is forsaking all. And I challenge you, just one part of this article on the third page, I guess, before you turn to the back, and we put this in here, to just point out what it means to be a true disciple. The cost of discipleship, allegiance to our Lord and our Savior, first, then to our spouse, your family. Our allegiance first has to be to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's Luke 14:26-33. Multitudes would follow Christ, and then He would turn to them and say, here's the cost of discipleship. He was saying to them, count the cost. And in John 6, there were many that followed Him called themselves disciples, and when He really began seriously dealing with them, they walked away to never listen to Him again. So let's close here, and this will be where we'll start up in about 4, 5, 6 weeks, whenever we get there. Notice in Matthew chapter 5, verses 10, 11, and 12. He says here, blessed, that word means happy, talking about joy in afflictions. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when, not if, when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. It's the next word. Can we do that? He said, rejoice and not just be glad. How many of us really, we must begin praying that we can understand this. We've got to pray that we can truly understand. He said, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Three verses in here in the Beatitudes. This is how the Beatitudes close. Amazing statement. So what I leave with you tonight, if you love the Lord, expect opposition. And to realize that there can be, we've got to look for it. We've got to seek it. We've got to seek His kingdom and His righteousness. But there can be joy in affliction. That paradox is solved when we look into the Holy Scripture and look at, first of all, the Lord Jesus, and then look at the apostles, and then look at the saints in the first century. There, that's our examples. Would you stand with me? Heavenly Father, we thank Thee tonight for Thy love and mercy and truth. Thank for this day that You've given us to worship. And Lord, help us tonight as we continue to sing and we have our final closing and prayer request. God, we love You and we thank You for Thy Word and the indwelling Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to understand Thy Word and Thy truth. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.